Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm not sure quite what to expect from this message today. It has sort of evolved and changed several times in my mind, so who knows what will happen today. That's kind of exciting, isn't it, to not know? I was doing some reading this week, and I came across something that sort of caught my attention. I want to read Matthew, starting in chapter 8, starting in verse 23. I'm just going to read four or five verses, but let's verse 23. "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Usually when we read this passage, we talk about the miracle of Jesus calming the storm, and it is a miracle. And deserves to be talked about. Sometimes we'll talk about the storm itself and how big and powerful the storm was. Sometimes we'll talk about the fact that Jesus was in the storm with the disciples. Sometimes we'll talk about the fact that he was asleep in the storm. But today, I'd seen it before, I'm sure, but I never really considered it or thought about it too much before. And it's something different from all of that. And it's verse 23. It's the very first verse that we read. And it says, "When he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." I don't know why I'd never paid any attention to that. The disciples got into the same boat as Jesus did. Now, Mark tells us about the same incident, the same event, and Mark mentions that there were several other little ships that were there, little boats, but the disciples didn't get in any of those boats. They got in the boat with Jesus. And I got to thinking about that. Some couple of things happened this week probably that brought this on. And I got to wondering, I wonder what they expected when they got in the boat with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what I think, because they're humans. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. People, times have changed and gadgets and toys have changed, but people are still the same. So I think I know what they expected. I think they expected smooth sailing. That's why they got in the boat with Jesus. Salvation is getting into Jesus' boat. We confess our sins and ask him to forgive us, and he does that. Then we yield ourselves to him. We turn over our lives to him. We give him control. We get in his boat. And if we would be honest, most of the time, when we get in Jesus' boat, we expect smooth sailing. As a matter of fact, there are some awful good, well-meaning Christians who might have come up to you or might come up to others who are new Christians and say, "Boy, now that you got saved, your troubles are over." Listen, that is incorrect. And that, now, please don't misunderstand me. This whole sermon may need a qualifier. It is wonderful to be a Christian. It is better to be a Christian than it is to be a sinner, by far. Now and for all of eternity. But listen, if you expect smooth sailing, you have incorrect expectations. The disciples, I believe the disciples had incorrect expectations. If they expected smooth sailing, they were mistaken, because Jesus didn't promise smooth sailing. Now listen, he could have made the sea glass, the wind favorable. He could have made it such a beautiful sail that it would have been the most beautiful sail of their lives. He could have just transported them from one side to the other of the Sea of Galilee. But he didn't do either of those things. And this is the important part of this message. He didn't promise either one of those things. In verse 18, Jesus gave the command to his disciples. He said, "Depart unto the other side." There was no promise in that command. It was just a simple command. Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Now, they may have assumed that they would arrive safely on the other shore because Jesus said, depart into the other side, and they would have been correct. They did arrive safely on the other shore. They may have thought, boy, it's going to be smooth sailing. They were wrong. It wasn't smooth sailing. God has made a lot of promises to His people. He promised to forgive all. If we would confess our sins, He promised to forgive all of our sins. He promised to give us direction. He promised to give us joy and peace and hope. He promised to give us eternal life in heaven. He even said that He would meet all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But He never promised smooth sailing. Where do we get this? I don't understand. I know there's a group. There always has been a group in Christianity, and I'm not trying to be critical of these people, but there's always been a group in Christianity who have taught, you know, sort of, we call it the prosperity gospel. Just get saved and everything will be all right. And that is not in the Bible. I want you to listen closely to some of the prophecies and descriptions of the life of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 52 verse 14 says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage, his appearance, Jesus' appearance was so marred more than any man. That's a reference, that's a prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ. And says his physical appearance and his form more than the sons of men. Says his physical appearance was marred more than any other man. Now, does that sound like smooth sailing? It doesn't to me. Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 5 says, he, Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hebrews 12:3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction, that's hostility. Consider him that endured such hostility of sinners against himself. Now, does that sound like smooth sailing? It doesn't to me. It sounds like just the opposite of smooth sailing. Listen to what Jesus told us. Matthew 10:22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. I don't think that's a promise of smooth sailing. This week, this is one of the things I think that the reason probably that this sort of caught my attention. There's a couple of things. One is I had a conversation with somebody earlier this week. They don't go to our church, but they were going through some difficult times and problems in their lives recently, and they were just having a hard time with it. Why would God do that or allow that to happen, that type of thing? And then there was this. There was a televangelist, some of you I'm sure read about this. He's been in the news this week because he wants his followers to buy him a $54 million jet. He said, bless his heart. I hope he listens to this on the internet. I'd like to say his name, but I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. He said if Jesus were living in the 21st century, he wouldn't ride on a donkey. You know, don't you, that Jesus was poor? When after Jesus was born, any woman, after she gave birth, had to go through days of purification, a specified number of days of purification. After Mary had gone through her specified days of purification, she went to the temple like every woman did to make the offering prescribed by law for her purification. The offering called for a lamb and a turtle dove or a pigeon. A lamb and a turtle dove or a pigeon. And then as you got through the description of the sacrifice and the requirements to bring it, said, if you can't afford a lamb and a dove or a pigeon, you have the option of bringing either two doves or two pigeons. If you'll read it, I think it's in Luke chapter 2, Mary brought two doves or two pigeons because Mary and Joseph were poor. They couldn't afford a lamb. The parents, the earthly parents of Jesus were poor. Jesus, it's never recorded anywhere that Jesus ever owned a home. As a matter of fact, it's never recorded anywhere that Jesus had more than a couple of changes of clothing. He had no 401k. He had no retirement plan. He certainly never owned anything comparable to a $54 million jet, and he never once asked his followers to fund it. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey that he borrowed from somebody else. Man, if you listen to that guy, don't you send him a penny. I'm not saying you have to be poor to be a Christian. All right, God blesses some of his people with great wealth. And I thank him for that because they use it for his work. And I appreciate that. But I am saying that God never promised financial wealth to his children. It is not in the Bible. I don't care who says it. I don't care what platform they have to say it from. I don't care how often or how loud they say it. God never promised his children money. He never promised to make us rich. If you're rich, thank God for it. It's a blessing from God. I want you to listen closely again to the Word of God. John chapter 15, verse 20. Mark down this passage in your Bible and go back and look at it. Here's what the Bible says. These are the words of Jesus. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. When we consider all the hardship and all the suffering and all of the sacrifices that Jesus made, it is unreasonable, it is incorrect for us to expect to not have at least some suffering, some hardship, and to make some sacrifice. As a matter of fact, I will tell you it is an insult to God Almighty for us to cry and pout when things don't go smoothly. When I read about that televangelist this week, and I read it. Sometimes I see that stuff and I don't read it. But when he said that about Jesus not riding on a donkey if he lived in the 21st century, I had to read it. And I'm just going to tell you I was insulted. For Jesus Christ. That a man who claims his name. I got to get off of this. I want to tell you something. God is more concerned with your faith than your finances. God is more concerned with your spiritual health than your physical health. Ooh, we don't like that too much, do we? God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. Listen, folks. Read the Word. If Jesus wanted all of his followers to be comfortable and healthy and wealthy, why did 11 of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, why were they martyred for their faith? One of those guys was put inside of a brass bull and boiled to death. One of them was hung upside down. Several of them were beheaded. If God wanted his children comfortable and healthy and wealthy, why did that happen to them? If God wanted his children comfortable and healthy and wealthy, why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross of Calvary? God can do anything. And if he wanted to make it smooth sailing, he could make it smooth sailing. But he didn't promise smooth sailing. And I got news for you, he probably won't deliver smooth sailing. This is one of those times when you tell your children, this is one of those messages when God is telling his children, listen, grow up and act like a man. Life is tough. deal with it. Isn't that what we tell our children sometimes? Listen, that's just the way it is. You're just going to have to deal with it. Well, this is just the way it is. Sin brought suffering. Sin corrupted the world. Sin brought difficulties and problems. It always has and it always will. I don't mean your sin personally. Sometimes it is our sin personally. But sin in the world has brought suffering to the world, and we live in the world. We are not of the world, but we live in the world. And we're to be witnesses to the world. It's not going to be smooth sailing because Jesus didn't promise smooth sailing. I better move on. It's awful quiet. I want to talk, that brings me to their insufficient faith. The disciples, their insufficient faith. You see, they had incorrect expectations, and those incorrect expectations led to insufficient faith. It always happens that way. When God doesn't do what we think He ought to do, we begin to doubt Him. They were afraid. Jesus asked them, "Why are you so fearful? What's the problem, boys? I'm right here." They were afraid. They thought they were going to die. Some of these guys were professional fishermen. They'd been out on the lake a lot of times in a lot of bad storms. This storm apparently was really bad. As a matter of fact, that some of the words used to describe this wind and this storm are the same used to describe same words used to describe the hurricane. It was a bad storm, and they thought they were going to die. And because their expectations were incorrect, their faith was insufficient, and they thought they were going to die, and they thought Jesus didn't love them. He didn't care about them anymore because He was asleep during the storm. Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it's the same incident, and they woke Jesus up, and they asked Him this question, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Let me ask you this question. Have you ever wondered in your mind, maybe you said the words in prayer, maybe you didn't, but in your mind, have you ever wondered, "Well, Jesus, I thought you loved me. You said you loved me. Why? How can you let this happen if you love me?" That's what the disciples said to Jesus. They woke Him up. They couldn't be calm because they were in the midst of a raging storm. And they woke Him up and they said, "Don't you care that we perish?" I tell you the truth, I've been there. These guys should not have been afraid Jesus was in the boat. These guys should not have been afraid Jesus was in the storm. They should not have been worried about or doubting His love for them. He was with them in the boat, in the storm. But their expectations were incorrect, and that led to insufficient faith. Christian, when you consider all of the things that Jesus has done for you, each and every day the things that Jesus does for us as His children. I mean every little thing in our life. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. If you just thought of that, that would be enough. If you just thought of the promise and the hope of eternal life in heaven, boy, wouldn't that be enough? But listen, Jesus forgave us of our sins. He cleansed us and He made us whole and righteous and pure. He adopted us into His family. He did all of those things for us. He defeated death for us. How can we doubt His love? You should never be afraid, Christian. One of the most frequently given commands, as a matter of fact, I think in the New Testament, certainly in the Gospels, the most frequently given command is, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "For He, Jesus, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Matthew 28:20 says, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." John 14:17, I didn't put that one up there, but it tells us that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. God is not just with us, God is in us. Why should we be afraid? The Almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God lives in me. He lives in you if you're a Christian. What do we have to be afraid of? Every trial, every temptation, every storm you face, Jesus is there. And when we wake Him up and we say, Lord, don't you care that I perish? He says, oh, what are you afraid of? Oh, ye of little faith. He didn't promise smooth sailing. He promised to be with us, and He'll keep that promise. That brings me to our incredible Savior. The last two verses that I read, Matthew 8, 26 and 27, He saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Jesus stilled the storm. He rebuked the wind. He rebuked the waves. He rebuked the ocean. And the Bible says there was a great calm. I love it when the Bible says that. There was a raging storm. There was hurricane force winds. The boat was swamped with water. The guys thought they were going to die. And Jesus stood up and said, hey. And there was a great calm. We should always expect Jesus to do what He promised to do because He's incredible and He will always do what He promised. Always. You can count on it. You can put it in the bank. Jesus can do anything, and listen to me, sometimes Jesus will still the storm. When He does, He can do it, and He's going to do it some of the time. And when He does, we ought to be thankful to Him, and we ought to praise Him, and we ought to worship Him, and we ought to love Him, and we ought to serve Him, because He stilled our storm. And sometimes Jesus is going to let the storm rage, and He's going to calm you, and He's going to protect you. And when He does, we ought to thank Him, and praise Him, and worship Him, and we ought to trust Him. I know the storm is raging, but Jesus is with us. Trust Him and obey Him. Would you stand with me this morning?